things could be more boring than to talk about a doctrine. But I want to do that for a moment or two anyway. Talk about, if you're Roman Catholic, this would not be a doctrine. This happened more in the, from the time of the Reformation on, the doctrine of two kingdoms. And the intent of this is not to be political. But I do want us to bear in mind as we talk about this that Jesus is neither a Republican nor a Democrat. Jesus is not a socialist nor is he a communist. The big shocker, Jesus is neither British nor American, nor does he align himself with any particular nationality. And certainly no political system. Jesus is sovereign over his own kingdom, of which both you and I are citizens. Now, I'm not Jesus is sovereign over all, but he works differently in these two kingdoms. As Christians, we who live in the United States of America, we live in two very distinct kingdoms, and we have pledged our allegiance to both of them. As children, we were taught to place our hand over our heart and recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, which represents that republic under God, which is indivisible with liberty and justice for all. And if you ever served in any capacity with the federal government, you took an oath of office. I've taken it three times. I guess they didn't believe me the first time. I took the oath of office in the Army, and they all have the same, almost the same wording the president and people who are sworn into the Senate and judges and any job for the federal government. We all pledge that we will uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And in the church, there are pledges that are made, promises made, allegiance sworn. There were promises made at our baptism and our confirmation. And I know there were some and my ordination. But as Christians, we have been taught by our Lord Jesus Christ to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to render to God the things that are God's. We recognize there are two kingdoms and we have allegiance to both, but it's a different allegiance for each. And Jesus demonstrates the fact, or Scripture does, demonstrates the fact that there are two distinct kingdoms when Jesus stood trial before Pilate. Pilate was outside since the Jewish leaders could not come into his Gentile building. He went out to them and they told him why they wanted Jesus to be killed. And so Pilate went back in to talk to Jesus. And this is that the way John records that conversation in the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Pilate went back inside, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others tell you that about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own people, chief priests, handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." There is a spiritual kingdom of God where our King Jesus Christ rules. And there's a kingdom of this world, which in our case is a representative republic called the United States of America. I'm reminded of these two kingdoms every day I go to work. As a federal chaplain, I have 2 feet firmly in each kingdom. It was the same when I served as an Army chaplain. On the crest, the regimental crest of the chaplain corps, it says, Pro Deo et Patria, for God and country. It's the same way today. I work for God and country. Yet every chaplain will tell you that their allegiance to the kingdom of God supersedes all other allegiances. The kingdoms are very different from one another. And yet, you and I live in both at the same time. Now, the difference between these two kingdoms is shown very clearly in our gospel reading today. Jesus said, and by the way, this is part of the Sermon on the Plain, or the Sermon on the Level Place, if you're in the NIV. That's the what Luke gives the title for this sermon. And it's a continuation from what you were listening to last week in the gospel. But you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. And I hear the voice of the church lady on Saturday Night Live say, isn't that special? These teachings are more than a little bit radical, but we shoot right over them. How nice. Extremely radical. Love your enemies. And I was so dismayed to find that the word for love used there is agape. I was hoping it was, you know, some derivative of filius where we just have to give them brotherly love. But no, Jesus says you have to give them unconditional love. Like the way he loves you. Love your enemies. Ew. It's not just radical. I mean, these teachings are totally opposite of what you've been taught about the world and how the world works. I mean, really, could you see John Wayne doing any of this? No! How un-American! We don't turn the other cheek, we turn their other cheek. It's not the way of the world. It's not the way of America. And I ask you honestly, would you vote for a candidate if this were the platform for how he or she would run the country? It's not many. Not many would, I'm sure. Some might. But it is upside down to the way things work in the world. It's the upside down opposite of the way the world works. The world does not respond to hate with love or respond to violence with meekness. Respond to theft with generosity. These are not the ways of any kingdom in the world I know of. Certainly not the way of America. The ways of these two kingdoms are diverse. They're so diverse, they're opposites. And they were on the day that Jesus spoke them. Jesus was preaching and part of the Roman Empire at that time. Do you think everybody was thinking, oh yeah, the Roman Empire should be like this? They're definitely going to sign on to this idea. No. It's always been different. The kingdoms are different because they have different goals always. And throughout history, and this is a sad part of history, throughout history, there have been Christians who have believed that these two kingdoms should be one and the same. Some have sought to impose the will of the state on the church with disastrous consequences, and some have sought to impose the will of the church on the state, and they likewise fail. The upside-down kingdom and the right-side-up kingdom cannot be blended by human beings. Christian nationalism, which isn't just in the United States, it's all over the globe, it is doomed to fail. Just have been all other attempts to bring the two kingdoms into alignment. The two kingdoms will never be in alignment until Christ returns and rules over all. Which probably will not be this week. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Plain, he was not saying, this is how the Roman Empire should be. This is how the world should be. All the kingdoms of the world should operate this way. And think for just a minute historically what's happened when Christians have gained power over the state. The Inquisition showed very little love for anyone. It never turned the other cheek. The Crusades to free the Holy Land did not reflect agape. Did not reflect Jesus' teachings at all. And when the conquistadors brought Christianity to South America and Central America, it was not the kingdom of God that we would recognize, and there was very little love. Jesus was talking about the citizens of his kingdom, the kingdom of God. Citizens of the kingdom of God will love their enemies. They will do good to those who hate them. They will bless those who curse them. They will pray for those who mistreat them. They will turn the other cheek. They will be generous to those who take from them. And they will do so while they are living in the upside-down kingdom of this world. We are called to live right side up in the upside-down kingdom of the world. Not easy to do at all. Were it not for the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we would fail miserably. And frequently we do anyway. But if we could, if we did listen, as Jesus said at the beginning of the gospel, listen, listen. We are called to live right side up in the upside down world. And when we do, it will be so out of place. People will notice. People will notice if we can do this. It's not just radical, it's subversive. We are called to love radically. We're called to love unconditionally, not just the ones who are easy to love, but we are called to love even our unlovable oppressors. Amen.